You're listening to Packers Talk Network. PackersTalk.com.
Do you want to experience the thrill of a Packers game at Lambeau Field? If so, be sure to get your game tickets from the longtime trusted source in Wisconsin, Ticket King. Visit their locations in Milwaukee and Green Bay, or just go to their website, theticketking.com. Again, that's theticketking.com.
Hi, this is Jerry Kramer, and you're listening to The Sweep.
Everybody needs a place to call their home.
Oh, I have sizzle.
Everybody needs someone to call their own. Even when you're lonely, no, you're not alone. You're one of us, one of us, one of us, one of us.
All right, here we go, fellas. Let's have a little fun today.
What is going on, Packer Nation? Welcome back to another episode of The Sweep. I am your host, as always, Fred Thurston, and with me, my co-host, Blaine Hornes. We've got a great show for you guys today, even though it's a little somber, or maybe a lot somber. We'll discuss the Marty exit, the disgustingness of the Lions game, and we'll talk to Bears writer for SB Nation's Windy City Gridiron, Robert Zaglinski. Stay tuned. All right, let's do this. Blaine, my man, how are you feeling today?
I'm feeling pretty good. It's good to be back. I feel like I haven't been on the mic with you for a long time, so it'll be good to kind of hash some stuff out with you and get some stuff off my chest. It's been kind of bottled up for the last couple of weeks.
Yes, lots to talk about. As I mentioned before, we got a laundry list of things, so we're going to get right into stuff today. Actually, no, we're not. Before we do that, let's quick say hey to one of our sponsors, Pride and Glory Clothing Company. You can check them out, guys, at prideandglory63.com. Get some new shirts, hats, winter hats, different things for Christmas. Great stocking stuffer stuff. So make sure you guys check them out. You can find them on Facebook at Pride and Glory Clothing Company. Great, great place. Find some authentic, one-of-a-kind gear. You guys can also check us out, The Sweep, at Facebook. Go up to that little search button, type in The Sweep, and we better be number one. If we're not, let us know. Or check us out on Twitter at @TheSweep_PTTF. All right, like I said, let's get into what we got. We have a lot to talk about. I feel like, what do you want to talk about first? I mean, I don't know what correct order makes this less painful for us.
There's no way. I mean, there's a lot to work on. And, you know, McCarthy's basically been saying that after every game that, you know, and I think he's got a point. To a point, he's got a point, if that makes any sense. Yeah. I don't know that Hundley and the quarterback situation right now is the biggest concern.
It's not. And I think that's something that I definitely want to get into and talk about, because I think a lot of people, listen, I get it. We're all in kind of panic mode right now. Like, we're not used to this. This is a whole new game for us of not, I mean.
But kind of. Last year we were, what, 4-5?
Right. My point exactly about it is that everyone's freaking out, and it's like, we just did the same shit last year. I mean, you go on Facebook, you get your little memories thing that pops up every morning. All of my memories were talking about how, you know, we're 4-4 and what are we going to do? And if you can't be with us through the hard times, you're not supposed to be with us during the good times. And it's like, wait a second, did I post this last night or did I post this today or last year? I mean, it's just, we're always going to go through things, people. It's never going to be a 16-0 season. It's just, maybe it will, but very doubtful. And we're going to go through these times of adversity, and this is part of it. The fact that, you know, we've really only had to deal with a very small, limited amount of injuries there in Rodgers is pretty great. But like you were saying, the Hundley situation to me as well is not the biggest issue. I thought, for the most part against the Lions, that Hundley played pretty well. I think the first half was Hundley kind of being hostage in doing you know, certain play calling and having to throw, you know, short passes, a lot of passes behind the line of scrimmage even. So I don't really know if it allowed him to kind of do what maybe he can do or wanted to do now. I know we're going to get into something in a minute here about what he can't do. But, you know, someone brought some, I don't remember who it was. I was listening to a few podcasts last night. And it was, someone brought up an interesting point about the Hundley situation and the play calling. And I don't know, perhaps McCarthy calls those plays and that's a normal thing for McCarthy. How many times does Aaron Rodgers check out of those plays? I mean, you know,
here's the biggest frustration I have. All right. And it's because we don't know and we'll never know exactly who runs this team when Aaron Rodgers is the quarterback. I mean, I think we have a pretty good idea.
I think we're getting a very good idea.
Right.
But still, I don't think that it was Hundley's. There was a few issues there with Hundley that I saw. But again, he's still, in his second game? I mean, it's hard to really criticize him a bunch. You know, a picture that got kind of viral the other day was the picture of him missing Jordy, which I, at the game, I even screamed that, oh my God, there he is. He's open, hit him. And I don't know if that's, you know, how long do we go with, you know, chalking it up to just being a second start or third start? And when do we realize it's time that maybe he's just not really there at quarterbacks?
Here's the thing about Brett Hundley. I'm kind of going to talk on both sides of the coin here because I really don't think that he's the main issue right now. And I really don't think McCarthy's play calling is that bad. And I'm going to tell you why here in a second. It's the big glaring issue for me is the defense and Dom Capers. You and I have had discussions. We talked on Facebook via Cameron Gilbert's comment, and we commented back and forth for probably about an hour and a half and debated a lot of things. Dom Capers is a good coach. He's proven that over his career. He's proven that in Green Bay. His track record proves, and you can kind of go and check me on this if you really want to, or you can just take my word for it because I've done a little bit of research myself. His track record proves that he does well with teams for about 4, 5, maybe 6 years. And then he just gets stale. His defense kind of falls off a cliff. They'll show flashes here and there and have games where they turn the ball over a few times and they win because of it. But overall, as far as where his defenses rank at the end of the year, the longer he's with a team, the worse they get, which tells me the message in the locker room gets stale. The scheme that he's running gets stale. The teams that you're playing on a regular basis start to figure it out. And Matt Stafford, you could tell. He knew when there was a blitz coming. He knew when there wasn't a blitz coming. He knew when to check into some run plays and get rid of the ball faster when they were blitzing. He knew when he was going to have time to kind of scan the field. And when he has time, when he has 5, 6, 7 seconds sometimes to throw the ball, I don't care who your quarterback is, but Matt Stafford is pretty damn good. When he's got time and he doesn't have somebody in his face moving him in and out of the pocket and kind of doing the Aaron Rodgers type stuff, he's very, very good. And he's very, very accurate. And he's got the arm to get the ball downfield. You can't ask our corners and our safeties to cover these guys for 6, 5, 6, 7 seconds on a regular basis. It's just not – nobody's going to be successful doing that. But that being said, back to the Hundley thing, I found an article actually, and the headline on it is Packers quarterback Brett Hundley is handcuffing Mike McCarthy. And it's a very interesting article. It's on packerswire.usatoday.com if you want to go check it out. And the part that I found most interesting is there's a pre-draft scouting report on Brett Hundley. And here's what it says for his weaknesses. And you tell me if this sounds and kind of fits eerily similar to the situation we're in right now. He hasn't shown the ability to win from the pocket yet. He's protected by play-action-based short passing game that held linebackers and cornerbacks at bay. Internal clock is a mess, has marginal anticipation, and appears to be lacking in ability to read defenses and create pre-snap plan. Slow getting through progressions, taking 125 sacks in 3 years. 125 sacks in 3 years. His inconsistent weight transfer on throws, which affects his accuracy, throws sail, and his velocity. Needs to reset feet when swiveling from side to side while scanning for his next target. Gets crowded in pocket rather than sliding to open space. Short arms, too many throws. Ineffective, inaccurate passer outside of pocket with lowest completion percentage in the Pac-12 when scrambling. Misses opportunities to climb pocket while keeping eyes downfield rather than taking off as a runner. His projected round was 4 or 5. Now, that right there, that quick little paragraph of statistics and what it says there as far as accuracy and moving, it sounds exactly like what he still is today. And after 3 years of learning from Aaron Rodgers and Mike McCarthy, you would think some of that would be curtailed a little bit, and it is not. He's probably not a starter.
No, he's not.
He's probably not even ready to be a backup.
No. And the crappy thing is it's probably going to kill us in the option of getting a trade out of him. Outside of what – literally the words that you said were Pac-12, outside of that, yeah, that basically sounded like a game review of the Lions.
Right.
And then that sucks.
and here's what another portion of what this scout said. Said someone will draft him, but I don't think he'll ever be a starter. He can't read coverages and struggles to process. It is going to take a few years before he looks like a backup, in my opinion. He's got a long way to go. The NFL comparison to him pre-draft was Jason Campbell. Kind of scary.
It is kind of scary. And, you know, it's difficult because a lot of times those pre-draft evaluations are pretty bogus. You'll see a lot of times players that have become best in,
right,
you know, their draft things were terrible. However, I don't see how this one is that falsified because it's pretty much straight on. I mean, his pre-snap plan, slow getting through progressions. I just mentioned how he basically missed the Roger or the Jordy thing. I noticed that a lot when I watched him play. Just his head was stuck in one direction pretty much the entire time. And I think that's something that he struggles with. And I don't know if it's a confidence thing or if it's just that's just who he is and that's what it's going to be. And if that's the case, then it's going to be a long year.
I have a couple more statistics I want to read from this article.
Go for it.
In 2014, more than 54% of his pass attempts were from 6 yards and in, including 29% from behind the line of scrimmage. That right there tells me that McCarthy knows that this guy doesn't make a lot of great throws downfield. I mean, his college statistics show it. More than half of his passes are less than 6 yards downfield, and 29% are thrown behind the line of scrimmage. That's damn near one out of every three is behind the line of scrimmage.
Yeah.
That tells me that McCarthy knows. He knows that he's probably never going to be anywhere even half the quarterback Aaron Rodgers is.
Well, not many people will be.
No, but you get what I'm saying. I mean, here's what frustrates me with the McCarthy side of this is when you think of a backup quarterback in Green Bay, you know it's going to be a young guy, an unproven guy. So when he has to go in there for 3 or 4 games, he's probably not even going to be comfortable or have his feet wet until, what, the third game? Well, if you have a nice NFL veteran like we've usually had behind Brett Favre in the Favre days prior to Mike McCarthy, it was always a veteran guy, a guy who's already kind of gotten his feet wet and proven that he can win a game or two or three. You know, if he plays six games, you have a chance to win three or four of them. When we have a young guy all the time that's being developed, you just never know what you have until you throw him in there. And you would expect that when you have a young guy, it's going to take that three or four games. Well, hopefully more often than not, when you have a franchise quarterback like Aaron Rodgers, you're only going to need your backup for that many games in a given year. Unfortunately, we need him for more this year, but that's, I think the whole approach on the backup situation needs to be looked at.
Yeah, that's a great point. I do think that for the longest time, we did always have someone that you knew could just get you by.
A Hasselbeck or a Brunell, or
come,
you know,
finish off a game if needed or whatever. You know,
but since McCarthy's been here, we haven't had that.
No, that's true. We've always had the young, unproven people. So, yeah, I definitely think that that's something you need to consider. But I still want to give Hundley another shot, maybe two, to really, before I completely write him off.
I agree.
I definitely think there's some things he needs to work on and things like that. What's that?
Go ahead. Sorry.
You brought up Dom Capers, so I was going to go back to Dom Capers. So if you got something you want to jump up before Dom Capers here.
The only thing I was going to say is we're not in the worst situation we've been in. I think even with the Detroit loss, you look at the next five games, we got Chicago, Baltimore, both winnable. I don't care who your quarterback is. Those teams are not very good. They're winnable. Pittsburgh, probably chalk it up as a loss. But don't forget that Chicago caught Pittsburgh on a down week and beat them. So anything's possible there. I'm not going to give that one a win, but over the next five, Chicago, Baltimore, I'd say they're 50-50 chances. You like those odds with your backup quarterback. Tampa Bay is a freaking hot mess. You got a shot. You got a 50-50 shot of winning that one. The Browns, I'd say you got probably a 55% chance to win just because it's the Browns. So in the next five, four of them are definitely winnable. Even with Brett Hundley as your quarterback and our defense struggling, if you can just get a little bit more, if you can get the other team to punt, you got a chance to win in the next four of the next five. And then all of a sudden you got eight wins with three games to go. And maybe Rodgers is back.
Well, I thoroughly enjoy your optimism, and usually that's my card to play, but I just, you know, that's, I don't know if Rodgers comes back, and I don't know if, I mean, it's hard to go from your expectations are to win the Super Bowl to your new expectations just trying to get someone to punt the ball. I mean,
well, I'll tell you what.
Could you go anywhere deeper than that? I mean, geez.
If Chicago does not punt the ball in the first half, I don't know that I'll watch the second half.
Yeah, I
and I'm not a fair weather guy, but my family and I'm only 30 years old and I don't have heart problems. I'm in relatively okay shape, but I don't know if my heart and my body can handle watching a second half if they don't punt in the first half.
Yeah.
I may keel over and have heart issues. I mean, it's getting to the point where it's frustrating to watch the defense on the field. Third and 13, third and 9, third and 15. You know, it's like, okay, Dom, we know what you're going to do. You're going to drop everybody back. You're going to rush your three, maybe four guys. You're not going to get any pressure on the quarterback. He's going to have 7 seconds to throw the ball. The corners and the DBs and the linebackers are going to have good coverage for about 4 seconds, maybe five. But in the end, someone's going to get loose because you're not going to put any pressure on the quarterback. And if you can't get pressure on Mitchell Trubisky, unfortunately, we'll find out when we talk to is his name Rob?
Yep.
Rob later on. I think he's going to be pretty good. I mean, he's a young guy, but that's kind of the way the NFL is going right now. I mean, you look at some of the young quarterbacks that are just – they get a year or two under their belt, and then they start terrorizing the NFL. I mean, Mitchell Trubisky needs to get hit, and if we can't hit him, even he will tear this defense apart.
Yeah, without a doubt. And that's that's the scariest part about the whole situation, is just how atrocious this defense is.
The sad thing is you and I have talked about it. I don't think it's necessarily the personnel. Do we have a couple of holes?
And that's the thing, you know, here is that, you know, that was my question to a lot of people this week, and talking with other people was, is it a lack of personnel, or is it the fact that Dom has lost touch with the personnel that we have out there? I mean, you can't hate on the guys that are out there. I mean, we have 6 first round picks, 2 second round picks if Rollins was out there, 3 third round picks, and 5 fourth round picks on the field. I mean, that's incredible. That's a lot of top tier talent. And I get it. You're not going to hit every draft. I totally understand that. But if you look even at the levels of where we're at, you know, the defensive line with an up and coming Kenny Clark and Mike Daniels, I mean, that's a hell of a combo. You look at the other side, the top end of it, with Ha-Ha Clinton Dix and Morgan Burnett, another top 5 combo in the NFL probably.
And you could throw Josh Jones in there.
And then you look
potentially,
at
– he potentially was our best player on Monday.
And you know what? He's the other player, the only player basically on that defense who still showed a little fire when shit got rough.
Yep.
And so that was impressed me a lot as well. Corners, not terrible, but young and
just, Kevin King and Randall are legit.
I don't even know how I can say those words, but I'll agree with you on that.
They're legit. I mean, they're not top 10 corners in the league, but they're good enough.
But the reason that they're not top 10 corners and the reason that they look bad is because our pass rush is so terrible.
Exactly.
Let me get into – I got a couple things I wanted to say about Capers real quick here, because I have never been a fan of the whole let's fire Capers every single year. That's been the routine for, what, the last
– 3 at least.
Probably so, more.
Well, because they had one season in 2015 where they flashed in a few games, and they were better for a few – I don't even want to say half the season, but probably 4 or 5 games. They were pretty good.
Yeah, and there's a lot of times
the offense was struggling. The defense bailed them out a few times in 2015.
There's a few seasons here where they were okay, but to piggyback on what you said earlier about how Capers is kind of an early season, early career, if you will, per team kind of guy. You know, Capers came in from 2009 through 2010. The Packers were a top 5 defense in nearly every statistical category, and clearly a huge reason why we won the Super Bowl that year in 2010. Since 2011, the average Packers defensive ranking is 17th in points per game, 21st in yards per game, 19th in passing yards per game, 20th in passing yards per attempt, 19th in rushing yards, 22nd in rushing yards per attempt, 13th in turnovers, 14th in sacks, 21st in score percentage, 22 in points per drive. I mean, so you get the idea. Mid-20s on pretty much everything, which, okay, it's not the bottom of the barrel, but it's not even in the top 20. I'm not okay with that. So I just
– You need them to be in the top half.
Yeah, and I think that's a huge deal. And it even talks about playoffs in year 2. I mean, some teams are good at stopping the run defenses. Some defenses are great against the pass. Since 2011, the Packers – neither. When they've had to face a top 12 rushing attack, they allow an average of 138 yards per game, 152 in the playoffs, okay, against a top 12 passing offense. They've allowed an average of 287 passing yards per game with 329 in playoffs. So you were exactly right in the fact that Dom comes in, he's a flash in the pan, gets you kind of ready and excited, and then it just fades out. And listen, it's understandable that we allowed him to kind of coast on his early accomplishments for a few years. But when it gets to the 4, 5, 6, 7 years later, it's like, okay, at what point do we stop riding the coattails of 2010 in this team, in this organization especially? And when do we start thinking, okay, that was fun. Like, we're that 30-year-old guy who's still talking about high school. Like,
right.
Like still showing up at, you know, the park to hang out with the kid. Like, come on, man. Like, I think that it's important for us to consider, you know, the Dom Capers moving on. I'm going to ask you two questions. One, if Dom moves, who do we look at? Do we stay internal, which is the Packer way to usually do it? Or is there someone out there who would fill the position well? I've said, and you mentioned the Cameron Gilbert conversation, that I'd love to get someone young, fresh, different, kind of like you wanted McDaniels for McCarthy last year. And then also, is Dom the only fire, or do you consider other positions or heads, if you will, in the organization need to consider their jobs as well? So first off, if Dom goes, who is a viable replacement for the Packers defensive coordinator position?
Well, I mean, obviously, I'm not a big proponent of getting rid of a coordinator in the middle of the season. So hopefully everybody understands that from my point of view as far as
– I agree, but what if
– when I say get rid of Dom, don't fire him now because that's not going to do you any good.
But if the Bears come in with a rookie quarterback – and a god-awful offense and just fucking light us up?
It's possible. But what are you accomplishing if you get rid of Dom? You can't change your defense in the middle of the season.
No, but you know what? You can maybe give them a little something. Like, they're obviously, you know, it's just they're – I think the thing is I think the players are a little bit like, okay, this is not working. Like, these guys are all extremely emotional type of people. And sometimes just bringing in someone new – can just light a fire and maybe re-energize their talent.
That's just it. You get rid of Dom now, you're not bringing anybody new in. It's going to be somebody within the organization, and then you're going to have the same old song and dance. Because these assistant coaches on the defensive side of the ball, they're in Dom Capers mode, and you can't change it now. I mean, it's so hard to do in the middle of the season. And I just don't like that. Even no matter what happens in the Chicago game, I'm not going to say it's not possible. It for sure is. But I wouldn't be a big supporter of it, I guess. I'm just a fan who reads a lot on the internet and kind of judges stuff based off of my personal feelings. And that's how I feel. So don't take what I'm saying as far as what they should or shouldn't do as fact. It's my opinion. I don't like it. As far as after the season or towards the end of the season, and maybe that's the way it goes, you know, when there's two or three games left and, you know, the writing's on the wall and there's a couple other guys out there that, you know, aren't going to have a job. And there's somebody out there that you like. I also think that it might be time, because I'm on the same page as you as far as the young guy, Dave Aranda. I don't know if this was a serious conversation when he was in Wisconsin about trying to get him to come up to Green Bay. I don't know that he's interested in it. I think that was kind of the report at the time that he wanted to stay in the college game. So I don't know if there'd be any interest there as far as even the Packers being interested in him. Unfortunately, I think that's the case. I think he just wants to stay where he's at. But he would be a candidate in my eyes. I wouldn't be totally opposed to them looking at Jimmy Leonard. I know he's only got 1 year at the college game, but I tell you what, he's a young guy. He's fiery. I think he would relate to some of the players because he's so young. We've seen a lot of young head coaches in the NFL be pretty successful in their first year. I think that just translates to the players and they can relate and they understand the message more. And they can get in your face and it's just more of a, they seem to be on the same level, the players and the coaches, when they're on the same level, I think they just respond better. And, you know, those are the types of guys. It doesn't have to be somebody that's proven. I know Cameron said that he would like to see a Wade Phillips type guy. Maybe. I think he's one of the older coaches in the NFL that has done well relating to players wherever he's been, especially as a defensive coordinator. So there's probably a number of different directions that they could go with that. I think that would all have to play out depending on who's available and who would actually be interested in a job like that. But I'm on the same page as you as far as trying to get a younger guy that can relate to the players and kind of get a new, fresh message and be on the same level. So I don't know. What do you think?
I think you got to go young. I think this defense is young, and I think they will relate better to a younger guy. I think we've also seen kind of the young coaches kind of come into the NFL with McVay at the Rams and Kyle Shanahan and young Gruden. Just kind of that's a new kind of thing. I think with the new age, you got to consider that. You know, there's a lot of difference in football today compared to before, and different ways to communicate with your players and different ways to, you know, relate things. And I just don't know if Dom has that anymore with these young guys. And I could be totally wrong, but I think you got to go young. The Dave Aranda thing, Blaine's talking about the old defensive coordinator for the Badgers, currently at LSU as a defensive coordinator. I think he's been nothing but spectacular. That would be such a cool hiring. But I think he's also in the mix for that future head coach job at LSU. And I think that is, it's a damn good job to have. And then Jimmy Leonard, I mean, he's current defensive coordinator at Wisconsin, old safety at Wisconsin, played in the NFL for a long time. I like that idea too. I don't know. I mean, I don't know. It's got to be someone that fits with everyone else's things, and it's got to be someone that works and that they'll want to run this defense. So I don't know. I can't give you any specific names. I don't like the way Phillips thinks. I think you're basically just getting Dom Capers again. So I hope that if they do decide to move on, whenever it may be, that it's someone new and young. If anything, if they were to fire him midseason, I think you interim – you know, Joe Witt or one of those guys, and then at the end of the season, weigh all of your options and see who's available. But I can't fathom Capers getting just demolished by two NFC North teams and us just saying, it's okay. I think we've been doing that for a little too long. But what do you think about, quickly, what do you think about the other potential? I mean, do you even consider McCarthy being fired? Do you consider Chet Thompson, or is this again something you visit at the end of the year?
I don't think McCarthy's going anywhere. I think the relationship and marriage per se between him and Aaron Rodgers is too dynamic. I think that with Aaron Rodgers, probably, what do you think, 6 years left?
Roughly, depending on what happens with his shoulder.
I think that you want to keep them together because when they're together, they're pretty damn good.
I agree.
Whether or not that's McCarthy being really good or just Aaron Rodgers kind of taking over, we kind of talked about that earlier. It doesn't really matter. If you need Aaron Rodgers for Mike McCarthy to be a good coach, so be it. We expect him to be there. And, you know, you got to remember that McCarthy's had Rodgers his whole career, and he's very comfortable with Rodgers as his quarterback. And, of course, when you take that out, it changes things. It's got to be difficult for McCarthy. It would be difficult on any head coach if they lost Tom or if they lost Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady or Peyton Manning. I'm sure that you can look at the statistics of any head coach, and when they're playing with their future Hall of Fame quarterback, and their record is probably astronomically better than when they're playing with their backup. So everybody that says Aaron Rodgers is making Mike McCarthy, yeah, probably. But can you say that about a lot of head coaches that had Hall of Fame quarterbacks? I mean, yeah. You look at Bill Walsh out in San Francisco. If he doesn't have Joe Montana and Steve Young, what do we don't know. It's hard to say. So I think you keep those two together just because of the history of things. What I think needs to happen is I think you have to have a talk with McCarthy about where the franchise is going to go over the next 6 years. And I think for that to happen, I think Ted's got to go. I think Ted should have went last year. Everybody that listens to the show knows how I feel about Ted. He's had his day as well. I think he's in the same kind of boat that Dom Capers is in. He did really well. He's got some pretty good talent on this team, but he's also flopped almost as many times as he's been successful. I think that a younger GM type to come in and kind of light a fire under McCarthy could change the whole dynamic of the franchise.
I've been a big proponent of always kind of keeping things at bay and let's just keep going. The Capers thing, I'm done with the Capers thing. And everyone knows that how much I love Ted, but I do believe that it's at the end of this year, it's time for Ted to take a, you know, maybe not a long walk, maybe just walk down the hallway, you know, maybe be a senior, very senior, you know, senior, like, you know, consultant, if you will, for the, you know, next GM or whatever it may be.
I don't like that idea.
I don't either, but maybe just like, you know, kind of throw him a bone kind of thing. Like,
for what?
I'm not sure that Ted's going to willingly just be ready to go.
So fire him.
But I don't think Mark Murphy's going to do that. That's my point. I think all that goes all the way up to Murphy in the sense of, like, Ted's, they're not going to fire Ted as if it's some type of, like, care package that they got to keep around. But I regardless, I just think that it is time for Ted to move on, get a new GM and kind of, you know, let's rebuild the ship, but not tear it down first. Like,
that's Ted needs to take his golf cart that I see him in at camp and move it, ship it down to Florida and find himself a nice retirement home where he can walk around aimlessly with that goofy ass look on his face with his golf clubs.
Ted can't be in the sun that long.
Well, he can wear his goofy hat that he wears. That's fine.
Ted doesn't go outside. He just watches college game film all day, every day.
Well, whatever it takes. Just send him down to Florida where he can be warm and walk around aimlessly in a retirement community. And if he gets lost, somebody will point him in the right direction.
Silver alert, man. Silver alert. Hey, I will come visit you, Ted. Don't worry.
I want to know, what's your infatuation? Because he brought a Super Bowl. He's the GM that was lucky enough to be in the office
No, it's not. I mean, that's a factor to it. But I like the moves that he makes. I've liked pretty much 90% of the moves he's made. I think they've all been
– So why do you think it's time for him to go?
Because I just think that his run is done. I think it's you get to a point in any position, whether you're the quarterback, the special teams coach, or the trainer, where it's time to be done. You've put in your time. You've done great. But it's – time for something new. You have to. You can't hold on to the same thing for 20 years in the NFL and expect for it. It just doesn't always work. I mean, you can look at certain situations that do kind of work, but I think that it's important to. We're at a crossroads in the NFL where it's a changing situation. I think that we need to join that and not be. God, I feel like I'm so against. Like, this is exactly what I've always not talked about. Like, I've always been the one who's been like, stick to the same way. This is how it's done. And I feel like this Rodgers injury has completely just screwed everything up in my life. I don't know where I am anymore. I don't know who I am. I'm just lost. I'm completely lost. I don't even know what I'm saying anymore.
Here's the thing, Fred. There's a franchise in Cincinnati who is comfortable. Yeah. With complacency.
Yeah.
And I unfortunately see the Packers franchise slowly slipping down that slope of being okay with being okay. It's frustrating to me. A lot of people want to say that we're spoiled as Packer fans. I don't like that term. I've probably said it on this, but over the last 2 weeks, I'm so sick and tired of people saying, oh, Packers fans are just spoiled. They don't know what it's like. You're right. That's not our fault. but we're not spoiled. We just have expectations because we know what greatness is. We've tasted it. Now, I'm not going to apologize because I want the Green Bay Packers to be great and I want them to win games. That's not being spoiled. That's having expectations for your franchise because you've been there before. We shouldn't lower our expectations just because the rest of the NFL can't be as consistent as the Packers have been over the last 25 years. That doesn't make any sense to me. It shouldn't be okay with anybody that the Packers are going to be complacent and be okay with being okay. It's not. It's not okay. And when you hear a Packer fan saying that it's not okay, that doesn't mean that they're not a true Packer fan. That just means that they have higher expectations for the franchise that's the best franchise in football. Why is that? Why does that make us spoiled? In my opinion, it doesn't. I think that's just such a bad term to label Packer fans who want wins. We're not throwing tantrums. And I have a friend of mine on Facebook that's a Cowboys fan that says, oh, well, every year when you guys lose a couple of games, it's fire this person, fire that person, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, we want something to change. Why is that a bad thing? When your team is losing, you make a change. Well, you've made the playoffs 9 years in a row. Great. I'll trade 9 playoff appearances for 2 Super Bowl appearances. And we've had the opportunities to do that. And if you can make it to 2 Super Bowls and win one every 10 years, take your playoff appearances all you want. I don't care about the playoff appearances. I really don't. What we want here in Green Bay is Super Bowls. And if you can get one, get to 2 every 10 years and win one of those 2 every 10 years, take your playoff appearances and shove them where the sun don't shine, because I'll take the Super Bowls all day long. The legacy of your franchise and the players that play for it, when you go talk about the greats, you don't talk about how many playoff wins they had. You talk about how many Super Bowl wins they had, how many appearances they had. And the big things happen in Super Bowls. You don't talk about Tom Brady and say, well, he's made the playoffs more than 75% of his career. So what? We talk about the fact that he's got 5 Super Bowl wins. And we compare quarterbacks and we compare Aaron Rodgers. Well, he's not going to be considered one of the greats unless he gets another Super Bowl. We don't care about how many playoff games he's played in and how many appearances he's made in the playoffs or how many wild cards he's won or how many NFC North championships he's won. That doesn't matter. Your legacy of the franchise and the players that play for it are based off of Super Bowls. Fair or not, it's a fact.
Facts.
I'm done. Sorry.
Chopping fact. All right, let's go.
I went on a rant there. But
that's good. We're glad. Let's go and say hey to the guys at Ground Round real quick. Can we come back? We'll hit up our Playboy and Schoolboy. And then we'll welcome in Robert from Windy City Gridiron.
Hey, fans. It's Ryan Bailey from the Ground Round in Neenah, proud sponsor of the Sweeps. Another reminder on why Ground Round is the place for Wisconsin sports. We have 21 TVs in our sports lounge, giving you a perfect view from any seat in the house. On Packer game days, we have food and drink specials like $8 pitchers of Liney's beer, half-price bar bites, free Packer touchdown shots, and the always fun Ground Round Cheesehead Plague Hat. When the Packers opponent is penalized, one lucky person drinks free. Win or lose, you'll go home happy as we raffle away gift certificates and other prizes on our spin to win wheel, including Packer jerseys. This year, you can even go home with tomorrow night's dinner as we have added game day meat raffles. If your favorite spot to watch the game is on your sofa, Ground Round can still be a part of your game day experience. We deliver our full menu 7 days a week, with everything from soup and sandwiches to wings, burgers, and steaks. If Lambeau Field is your favorite location for game day, we have you covered there too. For only $20, you can take the Ground Round tailgate bus to and from each home game. The bus leaves 3 hours before kickoff and returns promptly after the game. Call us at 725-1010 to reserve your seat today. Thanks for listening, and now let's get back to the Sweep. Go Pack.
All right, thanks, Bailey. Let's get into our Playboy.
Yeah.
And Schoolboy.
You suck, you jackass.
Against the Lions last week. I'll start off for the week. I'm going to go with the Playboy that – I don't know. You know what? You start with Playboy. I can't – I got to think about this for a second.
Mine's easy. I've used him before. I've been high on him since the draft. I kind of touched on the fact that he seemed to be one of our only bright spots in the entire game, let alone on defense. Josh Jones, he flies all over the place. He plays with fire. He plays with emotion. Seems like the only guy that has any life in him, especially when things are a little bit down. He's behind the line of scrimmage, making plays consistently. He's playing that hybrid role that we love. But, I mean, we need more of that. And Josh Jones is somebody I like a lot. I watch him every week. When he's on the field, I kind of focus on him. It's probably why I pick him for Playboy a lot. But, you know, the statistics speak for themselves. And I think he's going to be a main staple in this defense going forward. So Josh Jones is my Playboy.
I like it. Can't complain with Josh Jones. I'm going to go with someone as well that I've been kind of – I've had a couple times, I think, on here. And someone I just think who's just consistently been killing it and doing a lot of work and being a leader on that defense, and which is so weird that we're both going Playboy on defense considering how we just got done playing. But Blake Martinez, inside linebacker, I think he's just been great. Another 10 tackles, one or half of one for a loss. He will be going into the Chicago game wearing what I would assume would be the helmet with the play call in it. So he will have a huge game. But, yeah, I think he's continued to be a guy that's always around the ball, making a lot of tackles. And I think we have a special player there in Martinez.
I got a question for you. And I know you, I thought maybe you'd pick him, but I know you can't because of a family thing and your love for him and your Twitter relationship with him. What's your thought on HaHa?
I don't know. A guy at my work keeps bringing that up and asking me, is he hurt or is there just something wrong with him? I'm not sure. I think my two theories on it were, one, when Burnett was gone, I think that just kind of, you know, Burnett's kind of like the big brother that helps him out kind of thing. I think that he's trying too much, if that makes sense. I think he's
– Well, he was wearing that helmet.
Right.
And the last couple of weeks. And I think – I don't know that he – and I'm not trying to rip on him because he's a great player and I'm sure he's smart. But I don't know if he has the mental aptitude to be able to signal call the defense and keep himself on the right page because he's worried about where everybody else is and what everybody else is up to.
Right, and I think you're right there. I think that he was given that responsibility, and I think, again, he's not dumb. He's a very, very smart guy. I just think that that might not be something that he's comfortable doing. I think he's more comfortable in knowing his role and perfecting that. I'm not sure if he's one to delegate everything else. So I think, like I said, kind of doing too much, putting a little bit more on his plate than he should.
Okay.
All right, Schoolboy. I'm going to start off with Schoolboy, and I'm going to go with Brian Bulaga. And I know that's probably not very fair because, yeah.
Kick him while he's down.
I get it. I know he didn't really have a choice of getting hurt. But it's more of a compilation of just, again, here we go again. Every year it's been just a new injury for him. And it's, you know, drafted in 2010 and that season and last year were the only two seasons out of his 7-year career that he's played a full season. And I think that it's frustrating, not because I hate on him, but because I know how great he is when he's in that game. And it would just be nice if we could keep him in for a whole season. I mean, honestly, he's been here for 7 years. If he would have played all 7 years, we'd be talking about a Hall of Fame type right tackle. And instead, we're talking about a guy who's had this injury that year and this injury and missed this many games and that many games. And so it's just, it's not maybe a reflection of of his play, but more or less just the whole situation of just not ever getting the opportunity to really see his full potential in a, to a degree. I think we know what's there. It's just we haven't been able to watch it for a long time. So maybe I'll switch my schoolboy from Brian Bulaga to Brian Bulaga's health history.
That's fair. It is what it is. You lose offensive linemen like that. It sucks. It's a shitty situation, but it also kind of brings me back to Ted and how every year there's a position or two where he just goes thin and it ends up being one of our Achilles heels. And that's another reason why he is not on my top list of favorite people in the organization. So just thought I'd get another rip on Ted there.
Yeah, I see how you do that.
Such a jerk. But my player, my schoolboy for the week, I actually have three that I want to pick. I'm going to mention them all. Oh, my goodness. Dom Capers is the first one.
Yeah.
For obvious reasons, we've kind of discussed that, so I'm not going to go into detail there. One of my favorite players on the whole defense, favorite players on the whole team, Mike Daniels, costs us a big-time penalty on third down early in the game, which kind of swung the momentum, it seemed like, a little bit. With his headbutt. And he owned up to it and kind of said it was a bonehead play, blah, blah, blah. But you just can't have that from your leader. And he's had that issue in the past, so he needs to temper it back a little bit. So he's mentioned there for the headbutt. For the third one, I'm going to go with Ha Ha. It's been too much. He has not played up to his caliber. He was a Pro Bowler last year, I believe, and he doesn't look even close to that this year. Whatever the reason is, it needs to get fixed, and I think that'll help out on the back end. He needs to be flying around and be ball hawk.
I agree. Two things quick I'm going to comment on there before we go say hey to Jim Cooper at GoPetGo. One, Mike Daniels situation. Obviously a dumb play, but I like the intensity. I think that this defense needs a little bit more intensity. So I agree that stupid penalty is a stupid penalty, but I was also excited to see someone with a little bit of, a little bit of tenacity on that defense. A little bit of this is bullshit. I'm not dealing with this anymore. So I like that part of it. And then
it would be different if he showed some tenacity and got after the quarterback once in a while or made a big play on defense. If that was coming along with it and he stood out in a positive manner before or after that, that would be different. But he was just there.
I agree. It was kind of the same thing we talked about last week with the Lions guy, and he was talking, and we were talking about Ndamukong Suh and how when he was making plays, everything else kind of just got hidden.
Right.
So I agree with that. And then with the Haha Clinton Dix thing, we just talked a little bit about it, but I think I'm willing to come out and tell you that I will guarantee Haha Clinton Dix has an interception this week.
I like it. I hope you're right. I mean, that's one of the things we're going to need to do. We're going to need a couple extra possessions.
Yeah, we need to take the ball away. We haven't been able to do that as much as we'd like this year. So, but let's quick say hey to Jim Cooper ever at the Go Pack Go I Bleed Green and Gold Group. And when we come back, we will talk to Robert Zaglinski from the Windy City Gridiron.
When's the last time you shouted at the top of your lungs, Go Pack Go? Was it today? Was it yesterday? I hope it wasn't all the way back at the NFC Championship. Well, either way, we have a way to scream it every day. And no one will think you're crazy. Well, we welcome crazy. My name is Jim Cooper, and I am the founder of the largest Green Bay Packers fan group on Facebook. With over 30,000 members, this is the place to find it all. From the latest news, to the best fan shares, to knockout giveaways. Go Pack Go, I Bleed Green and Gold, is the group for the biggest of Packer fans. Go to Facebook, find the group, get involved, be active, enter for all the giveaways, and always say it loud, say it proud, Go Pack Go.
All right, guys, we'd like to welcome in from SB Nation's Windy City Gridiron, Bears writer and Leonard Floyd aficionado, Robert Zaglinski. Did I say that right?
Yeah, you said it perfectly.
Ah, see, we should just end the interview right now.
Right there.
Yeah. At 100%, I'm good to go. Thanks for coming on. Thanks for being on The Sweep with us.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for inviting me on. We'd love to. I don't know if we want to often get the upper hand on Packers, so I'd like to really – I was really relishing this opportunity when you invited me.
Yes, we are in unfamiliar territory. This is a strange situation where we don't really get to do – like, me and Blaine have to kind of hold back a little bit because we don't have Aaron Rodgers to come back us up with all of our
– Yeah, talk. You don't have the greatest quarterback of all time to just, like, literally come shut in everything here. Down.
Yes, it's terrible. Usually we can talk a bunch of smack, and then Aaron comes in on Sunday and makes us all look really great, and we just ride away on horses like champions. So it's different. It brings me right into our first question. I know me and Blaine have both been kind of discussing this a little bit. Obviously, we are struggling quarterback-wise, which is crazy. You guys have a young quarterback in Mitchell Trubisky. Where's he at? How's his progression been? And do you think that the Packers have a genuine concern with him at quarterback?
I think he's still very raw. So he's not playing well per se. He's only completing 47% of his passes. But then again, it's not as if the Bears are really trying to open things up. They've limited their offense from. They've kind of limited the play calling. They're trying to protect him, and when they do try, on the rare occasions, they don't have any playmakers. I mean, this might be the worst receiving core in the league. This might be the worst collection of pass targets in the league. They don't create separation enough. Like these aren't even passable guys. Like you have Kendall Wright, but Kendall Wright is a number three or number four on any good team, and the Bears don't use him enough either. But as far as Trubisky. I mean, he's making the right reads. He goes through his progressions. It's just growing pain stuff. Like his mechanics will break down if there's pressure in his face occasionally. Sometimes he'll sail a pass. He's not experienced enough to stay in rhythm once he gets in rhythm. So because sometimes he'll start a game hot on with five or six or seven straight completions and then lose that consistency, lose his poise. But as any other talented rookie, as any other number two overall pick, top five pick, he shows flashes. So he'll drop dimes occasionally to these receivers that can't get open. Or he'll run for 46 yards. He'll do something crazy on third and long, throwing outside the pocket, really making up for his offense, letting him down. I mean, and I don't want to hyperbolize it, but in a very similar way to what Aaron does for Green Bay, what Rodgers does for Green Bay, where especially throwing on the run, especially his athleticism outside the pocket. I'm pleased with his development. I don't think the Bears are handling it perfectly. I think they're trying to protect him. And if I was the Packers this Sunday, I mean, the Bears are going to have – we'll probably have Marcus Wheaton back. He's not good, but he's a passable receiver. Dontrell Inman, they just traded for him. So you have a top three of Wright, Inman, and Wheaton, and that's not good, but it's certainly adequate. It's certainly an upgrade over the past month of his first four NFL, Trubisky's first four NFL starts. And if that defense, that Green Bay defense, doesn't get to play with the lead, we might see a little bit of a uptick in performance for Trubisky.
As a defense for the Packers, we have been quite good at letting quarterbacks have stellar days against us. I've watched from afar a little bit on Trubisky, and there's some things there. But you nailed it in the fact that you guys just don't have really any receivers.
Yeah.
Your two, I would consider probably what your two number ones went down with an injury in Kevin White and Marcus Wheaton, right?
Cameron Meredith,
sorry.
And they just lost Zach Miller, too, their best tight end, best pass catcher tight end.
So there's that whole aspect of it. Again, though, our defense has just been atrocious the last week or two. So it'll be interesting to see kind of where he is and if we, you know, if we let Trubisky kind of control the game. And that's would just be, to me, and I think to Blaine as well, I think that would probably just be the nail in the coffin.
Yeah, that would be pretty rough. I mean, if Mitchell Trubisky can come in here and take advantage of this defense like Stafford did, And Fred and I kind of touched on it a little bit earlier as far as that might be the nail in the coffin for Dom Capers. If they come in, or if we go down to Chicago and Mitchell Trubisky and that offense puts up 30-plus points on this defense, that's potentially the end of the road. I wouldn't agree with that. I think making that move now would be bad. But I guess my question, Rob, is so Chicago is kind of in the midst of their rebuild. They it appears that they have their quarterback of the future. What's the next move? Is it to get the wide receivers? Is there something on defense that they need to shore up? Do they need to strengthen up their offensive line? Maybe get a little bit younger. What's the next move in their rebuild?
I'd say, yeah, so it's the rebuild. Yeah, I'd say the rebuild is probably, I mean, if I put a rough number on it, 85%, 90% finished. Now it's just about developing Trubisky, the toughest 10%, and getting him playmakers, receivers. I mean, the defense is more or less finished. It's an elite unit now. There's playmakers at every level. They really only need one position. They need a complementary edge partner for Leonard Floyd, like a young one. They have no depth behind him. I wouldn't really rely on Pernell McPhee and his knees. And they need a young cornerback, but they don't really need a young cornerback, that like a boundary cornerback. That's more of a luxury. So their offensive line is set. I'm not a huge fan of Bobby Massey, but he's a passable starter at right tackle. They have probably one of the best 1-2 punches at running back in Jordan Howard and Tariq Cohen. And yeah, like you said, Trubisky, like the franchise for them, the Bears, for me, the Bears, if they get playmakers in the draft and in free agency in this upcoming offseason, and Trubisky takes that next step, much in the mold of Jared Goff and Carson Wentz, the Bears pick the right coach to help him do that, the right head coach, because I'm of the opinion John Fox isn't going to return. I don't think that's a hot take necessarily. Then the Bears are a playoff team next year. The Bears are a 10 or 11 win team. They're at that level. There should be no reason for them not to compete. Like I said, this rebuild is essentially almost done. This is probably the most exciting time, and because it's been rough lately. This has been the most exciting time to follow this team in 6 years because the youth movement is almost finished, and like this window of Trubisky's rookie deal is about to begin. So,
I think in classic Chicago form, you can look at the team and go in defense first. I think that I mentioned it the last time we played you guys, and I've talked to a few people about it, that I like and I loved what you guys did defensively over the last few drafts. And I think that adding certain parts have really kind of been obviously beneficial. You guys are seeing it now on the field. In the month of October, only 4 total offensive touchdowns.
Only 1 passing touchdown allowed, too. Only 1 passing touchdown. See, I have these stats memorized. Only one passing touchdown allowed. Just 4 offensive touchdowns allowed total. 14 sacks. 8 turnovers forced. Scored 3 touchdowns of their own and the safety. 46 possessions forced. Hold on. I'm like a calculator right now. Forced 12 three and outs, 10 punts, and 8 drives that ended with a field goal or end of half, whatever else. So they pretty much dominated. Really didn't have any – I mean, they didn't face like a slot – like Cam Newton and Drew Brees are good quarterbacks, and they didn't really light it up either, you know?
Right. So is it safe to say that if Green Bay's defense doesn't improve drastically over last week's performance, that there's – literally very slim chance that the Packers can pull this off? I mean, you have a backup quarterback in Brett Hundley who's shown next to nothing as far as skill set to be able to move the ball down the field and finish off with a touchdown. Our defense is obviously the floodgates are open. How do you see this one playing out as far as the Packers coming down there with a backup quarterback and a shaky defense?
I know there's the tendency to say that this will be a blowout or the Bears are going to win by 30, but the Bears aren't that kind of team. They're not that kind of complete team yet. With that being said, yeah, it's Brett Hundley. This isn't Aaron Rodgers. And this is a road contest, and this is by far the best defense he'll have played on the road. This is an elite defense. This is one of the best in the league right now. He struggled against Detroit, and they don't even have same. It's close to the same complement of pass rushers: Akeem Hicks, Leonard Floyd, Eddie Goldman, or just in general talent across the board. And he struggled there too. If he's getting sacked against the Lions, what's going to happen against a ferocious Bears front? I expect the Bears offense. I don't expect the Bears offense to light it up by any means, but they're going to get plenty of short fields, and that opens up a lot for Jordan Howard and Tariq Cohen to kind of wear the Packers defense down, because they'll be on the field more.
Is it safe to say both teams could be in the teens as far as points, probably not getting over the 20 mark?
I think the Bears will get to the 20s. I think my official pick this week on Windy City Gridiron was 24-13 Bears. So I think the Bears get there, but it's not exactly a pretty 24. It's not like with Trubisky throwing 3 touchdown passes or anything.
Okay, that's fair. To be honest with you, I could see this game coming down to which field goal kicker makes the most field goals.
Well, if it comes down to that, then the Packers actually have a shot because Connor Barth is 6-for-10 on the season. But then again, I come back to the point where the Packers don't have an elite defense, and Trubisky's an inexperienced quarterback, so he gets to play against them, while Brett Hundley has to play against the Bears defense. That's really the difference in this game. And the Bears have better, offense suited to protect the young quarterback with a nice stable of running backs. So, like I said, I wouldn't be shocked if it's close because the Bears aren't a complete team. But I think they win comfortably for what comfortably means for the Bears.
Well, for the first time since 2008, the Bears are favored in Vegas over the Packers, which makes me sick. But
I think I just threw up in my mouth.
I know. It's just, I don't even know. I feel like I'm in a Twilight Zone right now. I can't handle this. You're right. If you really want to just go matchups to matchups, it comes down to the fact that the Bears have the better defense and by landslide better defense. And that's going to be difficult. So we're looking at a Brett Hundley coming off of a not so great game against a not that great defense and having to go to Soldier Field and play that defense. I mean, I don't even want to go to Soldier Field. Like, and I don't even have to even play the game. I can't imagine what he's going to have to go through and endure. We're going to have to come up with something magical to get the ball out of his hands quickly and to kind of move, because that defense will come attack us. We like to usually do a prediction. Did you have a number in mind that you can throw out for our fans and something that we can hopefully rub in your face later?
A number? What do you mean a number?
A number, score-wise. What do you think score-wise?
Oh, I think I just said it. Bears 24-13. I think the Bears are going to get this one 24-13. Brett Hundley, I don't expect him to get in rhythm. I expect the defense to force a few turnovers, get 3 to 4 sacks. Probably Hundley gives up, steps into them, breaks the Jordan Howard have a strong game. Jordan Howard's drinking up strong games and kind of powered the Bears to a non-thrilling win.
You know, you probably did say the score. I just didn't want to accept.
Yeah, no worries. I'll repeat. I can repeat myself. I'm in unfamiliar territory. I can comfortably predict a Bears Packers win, and I don't feel good about it because the Bears haven't given us much of late in the past few decades. But on this rare occasion, the tides turn, and where there isn't a Hall of Fame quarterback under center for the Packers, like I can repeat myself. I like saying Bears 24-13 and feeling good.
I can't. I'm going to hit the mute button in about 2 seconds. let me ask you this. If Aaron Rodgers plays same score or not?
If Aaron Rodgers played this game, the Packers would win.
You think so for sure?
Listen, the Bears aren't a complete team. So if Rodgers was here, Trubisky, like Rodgers can play well and against an elite defense. He's proven that. Yeah. So it would be more of the onus would be on Trubisky to play well as opposed to him likely game managing. The Packers would probably – it wouldn't be the Thursday night debacle because Trubisky's not Mike Glennon, just absolute embarrassment. But, I would say the Packers probably would win something like 30-24 if Rodgers was playing. So just to make you guys feel better.
I don't feel any better really about it.
It's well, still... and to be honest, you know, you talk about the running backs that Chicago has. I think that Dom has to sell out against the run and make Mitchell Trubisky beat you and hope and pray to the gods above that he makes a mistake or two that costs them points. And I think that's really the only hope and the only prayer that the Packers have is that if they can sell out against the run, stack that box, have Josh Jones and Blake Martinez and Mike Daniels and Kenny Clark up front, stuff that run game and that short passing game to those backs, because they're just as dangerous as out of the backfield catching the ball as they are running. If you can stop those two guys and make Mitchell Trubisky beat you down the field, you might have a chance. And if you can force a turnover on their side of the field and put Hundley or Crosby in a position to score off of that turnover, I think that's the only chance Green Bay's got. And if they let Trubisky beat them, and I mentioned it to Fred and you already earlier, that may be the day Dom Capers gets walked out.
Yeah, I agree.
Is there any other way that you could see the Bears losing? I mean, you have confidence for good reason, and I can't argue with your score prediction. What's the way they lose? How do the Bears lose this game?
Do you guys remember Colin Kaepernick's first start in primetime in 2012, Monday Night Football against the Bears? When he was playing for the 49ers, I believe that was his first like a year where he was got the first, like that was his national spotlight, and he absolutely lit it up. I think he threw 3 touchdowns, ran for 1, and had like the whole nation saw his cannon and rifle on display of his like natural ability. That's literally that has to be Brett Hundley. Brett Hundley has to play like that, like just play like that in front of the entire country, like have his breakout game, because otherwise. Yeah, you're going to have to force a turnover off of Trubisky. You're going to have to hope he makes a mistake. I can't see it otherwise. And the thing I'll say to that point about how the Packers need to sell out in the run game, as predictable as the Bears' offense has been lately, I'll give credit to this. When the team commits to running the ball, when the offensive line is rolling, when Josh Sitton and Kyle Long, two maybe the best guard tandem in terms of run blocking, working the zone scheme for Jordan Howard, working out of the shotgun spread. Howard's one of the best runners out of the shotgun in the league. It doesn't matter how many guys are in the box because everyone has known that no one has been afraid of the Bears' passing game this year. And even when Mike Glennon was in there, the Bears were still tearing teams up on the ground. For example, against the Ravens and Steelers weren't afraid of Glennon and Trubisky. They committed every defender in the box, but the Bears just decided to get, as cliche it is, decided to get off the bus running and accrued 200-plus yards rushing over both of them because they just decided that they're better in the trenches than Baltimore and Pittsburgh were. I could honestly see the Bears doing the same thing here, taking the ball out of Trubisky's hands, occasionally asking him to make a play against an exotic blitz, against a zone blitz, whatever, but just handing the ball off to Howard 25 to 30 times. He gets better with each carry, giving Tariq Cohen the ball more and pounding the game out, really old school Chicago football. I mean, it's not pretty, but that's like, I guess that's traditional Bears football. And, yeah, I'm not giving you much hope here. I'm sorry.
Yeah, this is a terrible interview.
Hey, I appreciate the honesty.
Because I do too.
Unfortunately, it's the reality we live in as Packer fans right now. It sucks, but it is what it is.
Is it a slight bit enjoyable? I shouldn't even say that. I'm sure it's very enjoyable for you guys to watch us squirm with our quarterback situation, considering that. You know, you guys have gone through quite a few quarterbacks in the last 25 years with, you know, us only having basically 2. So you guys have to be a little pumped about that. You have to hear us cry about it on Twitter constantly.
Yeah, I feel really bad for you guys. 2 losing seasons in 25 years. I feel really bad for you guys, you know. It's honestly, it's a weird feeling to not see a good Packers team, to not see to actually have a conversation with two Packer fans like you guys, and it's like there's no energy. There's no like excitement over and up. I mean, I'm sure there's excitement, but you know what I mean. There's like no, you guys aren't looking forward to, it doesn't sound like you guys are looking forward to this game much at all, in terms of like Brett Hundley against like the defense and all.
I would be looking forward to a game against the Patriots more than the Bears. You want to know why? Because you can handle losing to the Patriots because they're good and they've been good for a long time. And losing to Bill Belichick and Tom Brady, not that big of a deal. But when you're going against, you know, the Bears, and it's probably the best rivalry, in my opinion, in all of sports, and you're going down there and you're thinking about it, and you're a Packer fan, so you say, well, we have a chance. We always have a chance because that's why they play the game. But you literally can't figure out a way that they pull this off. It's so disheartening. You don't have any positives to look at.
Yeah, see that's what I'm saying. Like with that comment, like how you're saying you'd rather lose to the Patriots because they're great while the Bears have been bad. I think the sentiment, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Most of the sentiment amongst the Bears fan base is we honestly cannot wait until 3 or 4 years from now when you guys have to probably live with this reality for a good while when you don't luck into a third straight Hall of Fame quarterback. I think that's the sentiment I've seen. I mean, you guys have seen my tweets where I just troll constantly. I'm just enjoying myself. So,
hey, don't come
and we back. Hope Trubisky's finally our guy, like pulling out of the ticket. Like, I think no one's ready to make that commitment yet to where the rivalry has like shifted completely. But like this game and like how it's been recently, like people can like Bears fans can taste it. They can taste how the kind of like sort of starting to turn, like so sort of starting to permanently turn. As certainly as Rodgers is injured and as he gets older,
you're willing to go on record saying that this could be the beginning of the end of the Packers' run of dominance in this series.
Yes.
Wow.
I think so. Rodgers may still be great, but if the Packers don't build up their roster more and as they should, if they keep letting him do having him do everything, and if Trubisky is indeed the franchise quarterback that Ryan Pace believes he is, I mean, the Bears will at least be on level over the next few years.
Well, I think the main thing is that, and I was going to mention this before you even brought that up, is that Minnesota and Chicago feel like they're on our tail. And it feels like
they're there.
They're doing it the right way and that they've built two really good defenses and they've got two good running backs and they're just both, you guys are both just kind of waiting for that quarterback. And that's not an easy thing to do. We've seen that throughout the league that teams can be, you know, hostage to no quarterback for decades. But you guys have a good enough team around pretty much. Obviously your receiver situation, but other than that, I mean, it's a team that Trubisky doesn't have to be Aaron Rodgers. Like he just has to be, you know, maybe Trent Dilfer. And I mean, hopefully a little bit better than Trent Dilfer, but
hopefully for you guys right now. Hopefully
not for us, no, but it's scary for us because we're looking at it like once, you know, without Rodgers, where the hell do we stand? And what's going to happen when Rodgers, you know, what if Rodgers can't come back or what if he just decides to retire in 2 years because he wants to go live a California life? And then we're like, well, what, we got nothing prepared. And my biggest argument over the last 5 or 6 years was that Ted Thompson was always trying to set us up for the next year and then and a couple of years down the road to make sure we're good. Now we're not looking so good. And I feel like if we were to mortgage all of our stuff on the future, where's our future?
Yeah, there's nothing in place. Not this isn't me trash talking, but if you think about it, 2 Super Bowls in 25 years with 2 Hall of Fame quarterbacks, that's
awful.
Preach to the choir.
That's difficult to do to actually have that happen. Like I can't even fathom it. Like I would rather be this. I'm not rationalizing. I would rather have enjoyed or not enjoyed, but seeing the run of the Bears futility in that same time frame, then have two guys like that and have all these like fun regular seasons. And then it just goes down the drain
Thank you.
Once you realize you have especially having generational talents, because you're wasting them.
Well, you think about it, it's 25 years, 3 Super Bowls, 2 wins. You guys got to a Super Bowl with Rex Grossman.
Yeah.
I mean, that sucks. It sucks. And you're right. And you know, I don't know. I feel like I don't want to talk to you anymore.
No, I get it. Yeah.
This is the best interview we've had, in my opinion, because it's real. This is reality right now. And you hit the nail on the head for me, and I touched on it earlier in the show before you came on, that I would trade that we've made the playoffs 9 years in a row. I would trade 9 years of playoff appearances for 1 Super Bowl. No questions asked. We can have a losing record.
We did win the Super Bowl 7 years ago, right?
Right, yes. But here's the thing. We've been in the Super Bowl once since, what, 97?
Yeah, that's true.
We've had Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers. That's awful. And people want to say, oh, Packers fans are spoiled. They don't know what it's like, blah, blah, blah. I would love to be a New York Giants fan. They've got 2 Super Bowls, and in between the 2 Super Bowls, they sucked. But guess what? They always had hope because they made runs when they weren't expected to. We have expectations as Packer fans. People want to call that spoiled. Well, we have expectations because we've been on the brink of Super Bowl greatness as long as the Patriots have. The difference between the Packers and the Patriots take advantage of it and win them. Well, we don't even get there more than half the time.
See, that I'm the same kind of way with the Bears now, and this is what I've been arguing lately. A lot of the conversation has centered around the Bears building for the future, you know, keeping everything in place, sustained success for Trubisky, blah, 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 blah. In the NFL, salary cap matters. The rookie deals for a quarterback matters. All these guys that are going to – the Bears are going to have to pay in a few years, that matters. The Bears' window and best chance to win a championship with Trubisky, because as with the Packers, they're paying, what, Rodgers, 30% of their salary cap, I believe, right?
Mm-hmm. So something like that, yeah.
The Bears' best window to win a title in a similar vein is the next 4 years. I want Chicago to go for it. I want them to get the right head coach this offseason. I want them to go for as many playmakers as possible. And you go for it now. They already have, like, for the example, the Bears already have several guys that are 27 years old. Like, Akeem Hicks is 27. He's in his prime. The next years of his best years of his career are going to be while Trubisky's on his rookie deal. Same thing with Danny Trevathan. Leonard Floyd's 26. Like, you have to take advantage of it now. And that what you guys are experiencing in Green Bay, it's you can extend that to so many teams. You have to take advantage of your window, and then once it's gone, you don't realize when it's gone until you're having a conversation like this with a Bears writer.
So, yeah, I mean, I think we're on the same page. Mortgage your future if you have to. If you get a title out of it, it's worth it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And if you don't get a title out of it, at least you tried. Because if you just sit back and, you know, do the same thing you've been doing and expect a different result, well, that's the definition of insanity. So,
I saw a graphic from Football Outsiders Scott Kaxmar, who's I find very insightful, and he compared how the Packers have built around Rodgers. So I think Rodgers is obviously a superior player. I think Rodgers is the best quarterback of all time. I think Brady's a top 5 guy, but the Patriots have done a better job of building around him. You look at the past 3 or 4 years alone, how the Patriots have tried to build around Brady and his strengths. I mean, they've added every year. They're adding a Chris Hogan. They're adding a Dwayne Allen. They're adding Martellus Bennett when he was still effective. Meanwhile, over the past 5 or 6 years, the Packers have added Martellus Bennett, Jared Cook. I mean, what else? I'm sure I'm missing somebody. Oh, James Jones for a season, but they're not prioritizing maximizing their quarterback the way that New England is and building around him. Sorry to make you sad. I'm just relishing in this.
And on the other side of that coin is, you know, I don't know that they need to add that many pieces offensively because Rodgers makes everybody that is there better. Should they leave, that's proof. There's been some wide receivers and some other players that have left the Packers offense and just flopped once they didn't have Rodgers throwing the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Why not go get the pieces on the other side of the ball that you need to put you over that that little hump. And that's my biggest frustration is everybody's like, well, who are you going to go get? I don't care who it is. At least show me you're trying. I mean, yeah. Charles Woodson and Julius Peppers over the last 10 years are the two biggest free agents we've gotten. And Charles Woodson worked out awesome. Julius Peppers, I mean, good signing, not awesome, but good. Other than that, they've gone and got no difference maker on that side of the ball. And that's been their Achilles heel since they won the Super Bowl in 2010.
Yeah, I made this joke on Twitter, but it's almost kind of true. Like, Dom Capers needs like a game against Jay Cutler or something. And he's kind of lived off of that reputation off of those two games a year for a while now. Yep. But then now that Jay Cutler's not in the division anymore and playing anymore, he doesn't have anyone to kind of buoy up his resume and stick around in that aspect. He doesn't have a Jay Cutler to beat up on. I think you guys are seeing the fruits of those rather less than fruitful labor.
Yeah, I don't know. Fred, I think we gotta cut our man off here because he's getting depressed and it's getting worse and worse.
I have pretty much had enough of this crap today. you talk about Twitter. Why don't you let us know where we can find you on Twitter?
You can follow me on Twitter at Robert Zaglinski. You guys, if you want the awesome Bears perspective, I try to have a little fun with it, not just like a typical writer, beat writer, all in out. So I try to mix everything up. So if I've alienated you, please feel free to still come and read my tweets and get angry about them. I'm more than happy about it. No, seriously. At Robert Zaglinski. I write for Windy City Gridiron. I write for the Rock River Times, and I'm a contributor for the Athletic Chicago. So.
Yes, make sure you guys check them out. I read your articles. I do love them. You do have a great way of putting things and putting them into different perspectives. So we enjoy it. We are very thankful for your time. Thank you for coming on here and making me depressed. and we will make sure to never – well, we're going to have you on next year when things get a little different, and then hopefully we can resume our normal activities.
Oh, where you guys are gloating again? Well, we'll see if that happens.
Yeah, we'll see. Maybe. All right. Thanks so much for coming on, and we'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, absolutely, guys. Thanks.
Thanks, Rob.
All right, guys, that was Robert Zaglinski. Awesome guy. We are really happy he came on. We're not happy at all that he came on. That really – I don't know about you, but I feel super depressed right now.
You know what? I'm glad he came on because him and I seem to have the same kind of perspective on what's going on in Green Bay right now. And he's got it from afar. I've got it from the backyard, you know, and he seemed to be on point with my opinions and how I feel about it. And it's just good to see that I'm not the only one that sees it that way. And to be honest, we need that. We need to get knocked down a few notches because we probably deserve some of the hate. We've been giving it to them for how long?
No, it's true. I'll give them this round. They can have fun with it. Blaine's clearly enamored with Robert Zaglinski here. He's going to be best friends with him for life. I'm kidding. No, you're right. I've said it the other day too. I mean, I think that we've all – I think this is going to be good for us as fans to kind of get to maybe reappreciate what kind of situation we are in with Aaron Rodgers and kind of look at it a different way and be a little bit more grateful. We didn't get a chance early on to talk about Martellus Bennett. We're going to quick spend about as much time on him as he spent on us. Not on the team anymore due to a medical issue. I don't have a whole lot to say except that I'm bummed because I had a lot of, you know, of really high expectations. I was super pumped about him. You were super pumped about him. We both talked about it. Loved him as a guy. Loved him as the idea of a player on the Packers. Just didn't seem to work out. Not sure how in depth the injury situation is.
The fact that all this transpired as soon as Rodgers got hurt. I mean, things started going downhill as soon as that happened.
Yeah, it's just been a.
He quit on the team in my eyes, and I don't have time for that. And as far as I'm concerned, we don't ever have to talk about him again. Is you right. Unique and cool as an individual as he seemed like when he had his time here and was in happy-go-lucky mood? You kind of see players' true colors when a couple losses start happening, and all of a sudden you don't have a Hall of Fame quarterback thrown to you. And I just don't have time for that. And I don't think we should waste much time on him either.
I agree. Quitters never win. Winners never quit. So let's kind of go into our final thoughts here. Make sure you guys check out all of our sponsors, Ground Round Nina, the Go Pack Go group on Facebook, and of course, Pride and Glory Clothing Company. And then you guys check us out on Facebook as well at The Sweep or at @TheSweep_PTTF on Twitter. Any final thoughts, Blaine, before we kick the can here?
I'll give you my score.
Let's go predictions.
It's not going to be pretty. I think that I don't know how, and I don't know in what fashion it happens, but I'm hoping and I'm praying and I'm rooting for Green Bay, and I'm thinking they're going to get a win at 17-14 with a late Mason Crosby field goal off a Mitchell Trubisky turnover late in the game.
I like it. I was basically going to give you that exact same score. Make sure you guys send your scores into Pride and Glory Clothing Company on Facebook. I forgot to let you guys know about that. Every single game day, they'll put a post up. You guys put your score in there. If you guys guess it exact and are correct and the first one to do so, you win a t-shirt. I don't see it being too crazy of a score.
I think it's going to be a boring game.
I think it's going to be super boring. I think it's going to be a real boring game. I will probably never pick against Green Bay just because I can't. But I'm going to go with let me just quick here do some math in my head and see what I'm going with. I'm going to go with 21-20. I say we just narrowly edge them out. I say no field goals on the Packers side. I think we're going to get a defensive touchdown, and then I think we'll have a running touchdown and then a potential small short pass from Hundley on good field position.
Probably to Dick Rod.
And then, you know, Chicago gets the rest of their 20 somehow, some way. So I think it's clear to say it's not going to be the most high scoring game, and it's probably going to be really boring and potentially not great. However, usually when I don't think it's going to be very high scoring, it is. So we'll see. I think either way, we've talked about it all show, and this just being the reality of what's going on right now. There's a podcast out there called The Power Sweep. Great stuff. They have a great website. Check them out. I know that they're kind of, you might want to consider them a rival, but they're not. John had a great little segment in his podcast last night, urging fans, Packer fans especially, at this point and this predicament, to find some fun, refine the fun in the game. You know, obviously we're all very bummed about the situation. It's bleak. It's crappy. We don't want to be here. We're used to winning. We want Aaron Rodgers. We want him to come in. We want to watch him do his thing. But it's not going to happen. So find some other fun on the game. Find a new player. Focus in on him. Find some different ways to just re-enjoy the game and just to get back to where we need to go and enjoy it. You know, I it's easy to be super bummed and depressed about the situation because it's what it is. And I am even a little bit guilty of it. But I'll tell you what, I had a ton of fun at the Lions game. And it was when I decided to kind of take a step back and to just kind of relook at the situation and not be so incredibly business and invested in every single play, which is what we do. And that's part of our job here is doing podcasts and doing writings and working with Pack to the Future is it's partly a business. And I had to step myself back a little bit and just kind of get to a different point. And I just urge you guys as fans to kind of have an open mind and kind of, you know, find something to focus on and hopefully things can start to change. And Robert said, you know, the only way that it's going to look great is if Hundley comes out and just kills it. Maybe he does. Maybe Hundley comes out and kills it. We don't know. We never know. Like you said, any given Sunday, things can happen. So I think let's just try to enjoy it and you know, maybe say an extra prayer on Saturday night. And hopefully we can talk next week with a win. And then we're going to have Robert come back on just so we can gloat on him.
He's coming on. If Green Bay wins, he's coming on.
He's definitely coming on. Make sure you guys go to Twitter and put that on his Twitter feed that he needs to come back on the sweep after the Packers beat him. God, that would be great. I would just love that. That would make my day. I'm serious. Because after what he just did, I am unfriending him. That's the bottom line. I'm kidding. He's a great guy. Thank you so much again, Robert, for coming on. And again, make sure and check out our sponsors, and we will talk to you guys next week. Go Pack, go.
Go Pack, baby. You're one of us, one of us, one of us.